Well, hello, David. How are you doing?
Doing great, Joel. How's your week been?
I've broken up work for Christmas now, so it will be after Christmas when you'll hear this. But at the moment, I'm during my Christmas holiday, so I'm just enjoying a little break from work. I've seen The Princess Switch twice, David.
Oh, talk about, like, the Christmas film of this season.
Of the new millennium.
It stars Vanessa Hudgens.
Vanessa Anne Hudgens of High School Musical 1, 2 and 3. And the two hit albums and Spring Breakers.
She had two albums?
Yeah. And
I thought it was just the Sneaker Night album or whatever.
No, that was the second album.
Shit. Mm. Oh.
Mm. Well, maybe we'll get there. Or maybe we will. Who knows? And then I had to watch it with another group of friends, which is fine, but I didn't.
Had to.
I didn't dare tell them that I'd already seen it with you guys. So faking all the reactions as I went along. Oh, there's two of them. Oh, wonder what will happen. Couldn't possibly know. I feel absolutely robbed that we did not have a Vanessa Anne Hudgens musical number. Or maybe a Vanessa Anne Hudgens duet.
Are we doing her as a full name now? Is she Vanessa Anne?
So in High School Musical 1, she was billed as Vanessa Anne Hudgens.
No way.
So I always call her that, even though by 2, by the sequel, she was just Vanessa Hudgens.
Just Vanessa. Just V.
Yeah, baby V.
But for me this week, I've been enjoying JoJo's re-recording and re-release of her first two albums.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, David. I mean, what a queen, a way of just really taking back control of your back catalogue. And just hats off to her. I really admire the way she's just progressed in her career.
Mm.
She's not let legalities get in the way of her just doing her thing. She's kept fighting the fight, and I'm so proud of her, and it's so great that we can enjoy the music, and what a way that she can just embrace it.
Mm. You know, JoJo is one of these girls from the noughties that we absolutely love, and then, you know, really looked to as a bit of a vocal Bible of her generation.
Oh, God, yeah.
And then suddenly there was just nothing, and we wondered for years and years what the hell was going on. And it turns out, you know, she was stuck in a really bad deal and her label wasn't letting her release music. And now they've, well, not now, but they've removed her music from streaming. So that's why she had no control over it. That's why she went in. And I actually love the effort of just, I mean, she did not miss one single track. It's not like she goes, do you know what? I'll just do the best of the first album, best of the second. We'll give it to you as a playlist.
Yeah.
No. All 14 tracks or 15 or however many there are on these two albums, she did every single one of them. Mm-hmm. Even the album tracks that, like, no one thinks about that I love. And she sounds great. Like, vocally so much richer and stronger now.
I mean, she was, what, 12 when she recorded that first album?
It's unbelievable how young she was.
In looking back, 2018 is the year that I just defend pop stars. You know, we, straight, gay, whatever spectrum under the sun, the pop-loving community is the pop-loving community, and we get it. There's nothing worse than someone who doesn't get pop music or isn't into it will just try and slag off a pop star too.
Yeah, you know the kind of snide comments, like, oh, she's just a pop star, or is she even singing live, or is she
she's
miming?
Or she's only got one song. So, you know, I'm not maybe Sophie's biggest fan. I get it. I have a lot of respect for her. But my colleague tried to just say, well, she's only got one song. And I ripped him a new one. You don't have one song and then be releasing an orchestral greatest hits.
Yeah. So somebody needs to send this person the link to the Wikipedia page, Sophie Ellis Bextor discography.
You don't think I didn't do that?
Yeah.
Anyway.
FYI. Here's a memo.
FYI. And technically he was reporting to me at work. So I was like, this, forget about your work this afternoon. You need to hit all those targets still. They need to be done in your own time.
Take
now.
Time out. And just take a minute and educate yourself.
Yes.
And skip lunch because, you know, you didn't get a lunch break today.
You work through lunch.
Yeah.
And I'll be testing you tomorrow.
And your performance review tomorrow will be a Sophie Ellis Bextor quiz.
So, David, shall we get into it? Who are we covering today? I can't wait to do our first Adam Rickett episode.
No, unfortunately, this is not Adam Rickett's moment. We are talking about an incredibly iconic artist of the noughties. She has sold 5 million albums worldwide, 6 UK top 10 singles. She's Dublin's finest, Samantha Mumba.
Samantha Mumba. Now, what I was saying to David is that growing up in the UK, she has always been, she is and was, and I'll say is again, a big deal. You know, there might have been just one album that we're going to get into, but she's always been a big pop culture talking point.
Mm-hmm. Today, we're just going to kind of fill in the story a little bit before her debut and just kind of walk us through, like, just really relive that era where she was literally everywhere all the time.
Everywhere.
And, I mean, let's not forget, she also conquered America. So, from the age of 3, Samantha Mumba was enrolled in, you know, stage school. She was in it from 3 till 15. She was dancing tap at 3. She made her first TV appearance at 4.
Wow.
So in September 1998, when she was about 15, she landed a lead role in a musical production of The Hot Mikado. So in Dublin, she was starting to earn some rave reviews from that. You know, she was always doing some local theatre, this and that. But it wasn't until she went on an amateur talent contest on RTE called Let Me Entertain You, where things started to really take off for her.
And for anyone that doesn't know, RTE is the big channel in Ireland. That's basically their BBC. So, you know, it's a big deal.
It's prime time, yeah. And I believe, I mean, I tried to look up some information about this programme, but it does sound like some sort of early version of Britain's Got Talent or, like, you know, X Factor, but really amateur.
Yeah, so you remember before Pop Stars and Pop Idol, we'd have these, we'd love a talent show. There's always been a talent show, but it would have more one week kind of thing. You come on and you sort of sing your song, you do an act, or there's been many incarnations. Even for kids, there was Steps to the Stars, hosted by H and Claire, and which had Danny from McFly and Danny from McFly's sister on it when they were young.
No way.
We've always had those kind of shows, and they would also sometimes be mixed up with, like, at shopping centres, and they'd be filmed at shopping centres, people doing a big performance in Lakeside or Bluewater or places like that. So I think the UK and Ireland and America, from it seems, we've seen Britney and Beyonce do the talent show things in their early days. I think we're places that have always loved a talent show,
yeah.
And then they've become these crazy monster things that they are now.
So on Let Me Entertain You, I think Louis Walsh was like a judge on it or something. Like, I mean, he was already a very much a big deal in Ireland as this super music manager behind Westlife, Boyzone, you know, those types of names. Like, he's known in the industry.
So did you know, which I found out earlier this week, that Westlife, the key members of Westlife were in another band before they were in Westlife. So it was a much cheesier, typical boy band fare kind of thing.
Much cheesier than Westlife?
As in, more up-tempo. We would have lived for it much more.
Oh, okay, more Take That kind of bops.
Yeah. They were called IOU or something like that.
IOU.
And it was literally spelled out in a funny way. And they had a few sort of singles, which I don't think really went anywhere. And I think Louis Walsh sort of plucks the key members out. I think it was Mark and the other lead singer and Nikki were in this band. Wow. And now then they formed Westlife and look what happened. So they went through the roof. But boys are bands. Boys are boring.
No.
People say to me all the time, like, Joel, you never talk about sort of, who are your favourite male singers? I'm like, Rick Astley, Rick James, that's it. You know, boys Adam are Rickett. Boring. Adam Rickett, obviously. the Holy Trinity.
So at this point of Samantha Mumba going on Let Me Entertain You, TV producers kind of put her mum, Barbara, in touch with a really popular Irish music manager at the time called Robbie Wooten. I don't know anything else he's done. Like, I don't think he's like a pop guy. Maybe he's more of a band kind of guy. So he had interest in signing Samantha to a management deal, but he somehow, like, I think the mum was sort of waiting to see what came in from her appearance on TV. So she was a little bit reluctant to sign with this guy at first. Next thing you know, she was making connections. And by the way, a lot of this is gleaned from this ridiculous book called Baby, You're a Star, The Rise and Rise of Pop Savangali, Louis Walsh.
Written by David Lim.
No. Written by a journalist called Kathy Folly. I mean, it sounds very interesting. And it has, like, quotes from Samantha Mumba's mum in there and Louis Walsh. I mean, I want to read the whole thing, but I could only glean what I could glean online. So.
And Samantha Mumba's mum, I learnt from this, the extract from this book, was an air steward. I imagine she was this very glamorous air steward.
I want to see a picture of her. I bet you she looks, like, fierce. Barbara.
Barbara.
Barbara means business. She was not about to play with her daughter's career. So Barbara started making connections with the A&R guy at Sony Music Ireland, who was really impressed with Samantha's looks and her abilities and everything like that. So he introduced her to the head of Sony in America.
Wow.
So things were like escalating really quickly from this point. Like they're networking. The dude at the head of Sony in America put Barbara in touch with the Spice Girls hitmakers, Richard Biff Stannard and Matt Rowe. So they flew out to Dublin to meet Samantha Mumba. Now, at the time, she was in Panto, so they couldn't meet early in the day. They had to wait till she finishes.
Right.
You know what it's like.
I know what it's like. I showed
late night show.
I showed David clips of me in Panto at 17 the other day, dancing as a mermaid, doing an Under the Sea number, and then one as a sailor. Absolutely ridiculous.
I was really impressed.
So much fun. So absolutely much... awful, but so
But
much
you were fun. Like really like popping it, and like the was. Moves were sharp. Yeah. I was just like getting visions of a young JT. You had, like, Joel had blonde hair back then, you know, the highlights. It was just vision of a boy band member. Yeah.
People always go, oh, you look, I mean, you kind of look like you're in a boy band then. And I'm like, thank you.
I was.
That was in my heart and in my head.
She goes to meet them at this really opulent nightclub in Dublin called Lily's Bordello. Mm. I think it's still there. It was, like, apparently back in the day, the ultimate place to be, you know, if you want to be seen as someone who's, like, in the industry, you know, someone who's like hot and up and coming, that was the place you need to be seen at. So they had their meeting there. This other bloke that was meant to, you know, wanted to manage Samantha Mumba couldn't make it to this meeting. So she went there with her mum. Guess who was at this club?
Didn't happen to be Louis Walsh, did it?
Oh, just so happened to be hanging about there, you know, because that's like one of his joints. So... he was very impressed to see her in the company of these Spice Girls producers.
Wow.
Immediately says to Mum, I want to manage her.
Without her seeing her sing.
Oh, nothing.
Nothing.
I have made my decision. Sam, it's not good news.
Boys.
It's great news. You're true. You.
True to life shows.
And she was, yeah, she must have been like, this guy's crazy. Does he not want to hear me sing?
She literally said that to him. Apparently at the meeting, he's like, I want to manage you. And she was like, but you haven't even heard me sing. He's like, well, you have it all. You're the complete package, blah, blah, blah. All the stuff he says on the X Factor.
You haven't even heard me sing. Heard you what? Yeah. What's that got to do with anything?
Yeah, exactly.
But little did he know. He hit the jackpot. She's got an incredible voice.
But I think he'd already known from, like, the stuff she did on TV. And apparently he said to Barbara that, you know, I've been trying to get in contact with you guys. You know, I've heard lots of good things about her.
I think, you know, if you've got the Spice Girls songwriters, producers in there, she's going to be able to sing.
Yeah,
you know?
He wanted to get in quick. In Louis Walsh's eyes, he saw, like, a vision of a young Toni Braxton, young Janet Jackson in her.
Which she does give off those very vibes.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Especially when she sings in that lower register, you're like, ooh.
Man, oh, man, my, yeah.
Look,
see, we can all do it, Sam. David calls Samantha Mumba Sam. In preparation of this episode, he's like, oh, yeah, what do you think about Sam? What about this? And I'm like, are you talking about Samantha Mumba or your mate Sam?
We're just so familiar. I feel like I've just watched so many clips of her and read so much about her at this point. I'm just like, she's just Sam.
Just Sam from Dublin. Yeah,
just Sam. Louis Walsh started orchestrating lots of hype to try to, you know, basically start a bidding war between labels for young Samantha Mumba. The label that won in the end was Polydor because they would make her their priority act. Even before they signed her on the dotted line, they'd already flown her out to Sweden with her mum to record with these amazing Swedish pop producers. One of them is Anders Berg, who, you know, does stuff for Jessica Simpson, Westlife, J-Lo. He actually does the majority of this album, including Gotta Tell You.
He worked with Jessica Ann Simpson. So he's worked with not only smash hits year 2000 fourth best female solo newcomer Jessica Ann Simpson. He's also worked with their number one year 2000 best new solo female, Samantha Mumba. I wish she was Sam. Samantha and Mumba.
Yeah. So,
oh my god, she's got several middle names, but one of them is Anne.
Who? Samantha. What's her full name?
You can
Samantha Tamania Anne. Cecilia Mumba.
Oh, this that's is what a, I'm calling my
I'm
firstborn.
I'm getting chills. This is like an Anne episode.
Anne's only a series two.
So yeah, flew her out to Sweden even before signing a deal to start these sessions. And you know, the results came back tremendous. Obviously, gotta tell you, came out of these sessions. They were kind of going for an American R&B leaning pop star. That was the package they were going to create.
Yeah, I mean, you can hear in her sound, it's very American. Like, there's sort of that Britney boy bandy essence with a mix of R&B all kind of mixed into one fantastic ready-to-go pop package.
I think her songs, especially this album, which we'll get into, is definitely more pop. But her image, like, she looks like an American R&B star. Mm. That was it, you know. Before we know it, May 2000 rolls around. She's finished her album. She's finished recording it, and we're about to get into her first single. I'll tell you this is where you belong. So, Joel, gotta tell you.
Gotta tell me what?
Gotta tell you about this amazing single. I'm not sure if you've heard it. Sam's debut.
Oh, little Sam's. Sam Ann's.
Sam Ann.
Debut, gotta tell you.
Gotta tell you.
Oh, what a great song. I remember when I was at primary school, it was like, it was some sort of random deal with Clarks. Like, if you were back to school shoes by a certain time, you'd get a free radio Walkman, sort of a portable little radio. And I remember listening to it in the playground and Gotta Tell You came on the radio. I love this. I was imagining the music video in my head.
Oh my God.
Clearly, probably definitely a loner on the playground on my own, just listening to just music with your radio in the corner. Everyone, fuck off. I'm listening to Samantha Mumba. Probably going for it, dancing in the playground.
With your wispy blonde hair. Oh, this is such a vision. I would have loved to have met you in the year 2000. I mean,
oh, imagine. We always joke about how imagine we could have been pen pals.
Because that was a real thing back then. People definitely... showing our age, but you know.
Excuse me. Excuse me, David.
So it was the year 2000. It was June. It was summer of that year. I mean, what a great time for pop music. And that's why we do a podcast on this whole era. I mean, this music video was just on the channels all the time.
So what did you think of the music video?
Oh my God. I still remember the first time I saw this. It was Saturday morning TV. It was probably Video Hits, which is on Channel 10. And the braids. First of all, I thought she was American because, you know, I lived a very sheltered life. Growing up in Malaysia and then moving to
Australia. Didn't know what island was.
Didn't know what island.
What's this island she speaks of? Which island? Which island of America?
Yeah. So didn't know she was Irish. I thought she was American. You know, she had these fabulous braids that reminded me of Brandy.
Gorgeous. So it's not one continuous shot, but it is one continuous sequence of movement, which we saw in the Wannabe video, which is now had the recent resurgence with Dua Lipa and then all the ones that have kind of followed off the back of that. But what a great video. You follow her on this journey and she's kind of, I love it when she just sort of jumps on the truck and jumps off and she's still moving. Like, you got to be able to throw your body around, just sheer confidence with all of that.
While still maintaining eye contact with the camera.
Pop star rule number one.
Yeah.
Rule one of being a pop star, always maintain eye contact with the camera. You know, bit of, you know, sex in the eyes, you know, make love to the camera.
Give a bit of attitude, you know.
What about flipping off that building? Do you think that was really her or a body double?
I did wonder, even the bit where she climbs on a fence and hops off it, I was like, that's a lot of risk.
There's a lot. Yeah, the production manager with the risk assessment for that would have been losing their shit.
Yeah, I mean, I think there might have been a body double doing that. I don't know.
What, a body-to-body double?
Yep.
This, when I say shit like that, people are like, and you say you do comedy, Joe, are you sure about that?
And also love the bit at the end where she runs to catch a plane, like, literally on foot. Do you think that was part of her, like, showreel when they pitched her for movies? It's like, look, she can do her own stunts. She can run on foot to catch a plane.
You know, plane, time machine, could be the same thing. Let's get her in.
So the single hit number one in Ireland. It became the biggest selling single of that year. Double platinum. Debuted here at number two in the UK. Platinum sales. It came out in Australia 2 months later, so around about August, I guess, and made number three there. Also platinum sales. Number one in New Zealand.
One, two, three. Shed in one in two places. Two here. Three, your homeland.
And
mental.
And then number four in the States.
Where one, it was two, released. Three, four.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, to think, she made number four on the Billboard Hot 100. Not anybody can do that.
Mandy's not done that.
Hello.
Little Dublin Samantha Mumba hits it at number four.
With her first single. I mean, that is phenomenal effort. Like, we need to just take a moment to, like, pay respect to that. Because not everybody has that.
And it felt with the sound and the big music video, it felt that that was their thought of.
Yeah.
And then in that article that you sent me that you've been referencing to, they were trying to launch Samantha and Westlife kind of simultaneously in the States, weren't they? But Sammy Babes kicked off.
I mean, come on. Westlife didn't stand a chance.
Because
in America.
Boys are boring.
Exactly. Louder for the people in the back. So I think the key to Gotta Tell You success in America, and I think most territories outside UK and Ireland, is that it's very good on radio. It's one of those tracks that is like crack on radio. Like people... people are addicted to it. It's so catchy. You know, it's one of those things. It's
David,
radio.
You've got to watch what you say. Articles tomorrow, when this is released. Pop music banned on radio. People are saying it's like crack and you get addicted.
Daily Mail, two pages. Next comes her second single, Body to Body, in October 2000.
Wow. Body to Body, sampling David Bowie, one of the absolute most iconic people in music ever. I mean, what a way to throw yourself a bit of credibility if people are like, who's this new just pop starlet of the week?
Mm.
It's like, well...
Well, David Bowie co-signed this. So yeah. My biorhythm's jumping, got my circulation pumping. They were playing Ashes to Ashes, which is the Bowie song that this is sampling. They played that in the office, I think, about a year or two ago. And I thought, oh, good, finally someone's playing Samantha Mumba. And then I was like, wait a minute.
Where's our girl's vocals?
Yeah, who's this old man? But, you know, you come from this kind of bubblegum goodness of Gotta Tell You to something a little bit darker, a bit more subversive in Body to Body. And, I mean, even the music video was designed as a contrast to that, you know. Gotta Tell You was very bright, daytime shots, and then Body to Body, nighttime.
Now, we got to talk about this. Some of our girl Sam's music videos are hard to find online, or there's options of just filmed off of... You know, at least there's a version out there, but they're kind of filmed on a telephone.
Sorry,
and put up onto
laugh.
YouTube. Now, someone out there, Sam, Polydor, pop music activism,
Louis Walsh,
the original manager that she didn't sign with, Westlife, whatever you're up to, get the HQ vids and get them up on YouTube. It's what we need and deserve. Thank you.
It's what Sam needs and deserves.
It's what Sammy needs.
Thanks Sam for coming to our TED Talk.
Yeah. So we've got to also talk about, there's a Tool Pool vocal mix of Body to Body.
Oh, okay.
Now, do you know about Tool Pool at all?
No.
So one of my infamous colleagues now, all the guys they have to part with, let's just say I'm on the defence every day of... the pop.
They're just walking on eggshells.
Yeah. So the bond that me and one of my seniors actually has to me is there's a Tool Pool Billy remix of Because We Want To.
Oh.
Now this was the first I'd ever heard of this Tool Pool. So he's like, Babs, what do you think of this?
That's what he calls you Babs.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that is hilarious.
And I was like, okay. And he was like, it's Billy. And it was this heavy
remix. Trance, like.
And I was waiting for the vocals to kick in. Because, you know, even on remix, you get the
yeah,
vocals
you get
and the
dub,
chorus
you know, yeah,
eventually.
You get something.
Like, if it's 7 minutes, it'll be there at, like, the 3-minute mark.
No?
They had stripped Billy's vocals because we want to completely. I was like, when do the vocals kick in? And he was like, what vocals? And
so he probably has never heard the song.
And he had it on vinyl. And then if I listen to it a few more times and I can hear really under it, like, we could do anything.
They turned that way down, didn't they? I was like, to not scare the straight people in the club. Yeah,
it's surreal. So then that was on the single, and apparently that remix was really big on the club scene. Wow. So I wonder if a sort of whole straight market bought these singles just for that. And I wonder if that maybe helped it shoot to number one. But anyway, so I was listening to the collection, Samantha Mumba, and it has the Tool Pool vocal mix on it.
Iconic.
And I had to send it to him straight away. I was like, listen to this. There's a Samantha Mumba. At least this one is a vocal mix.
Yeah.
So vocals are still there. So sent him that straight away. If there's any Tool Pool stands out there or Tool Pool yourself, get in touch. Would love to know the stories behind these.
We'd love to hear it. I mean, first of all, if you're listening, Tool Pool, thank you for being the bridge between us and the straight men community.
What we should do is we should release episodes just as right back at you. Episode 1, 2, 3, 4, Tool Pool remix.
Yeah. I'm sure someone out there can like chuck out chopped up vocals over like a club beat or something.
And we will see you in Ibiza.
Yeah, Ibiza. Got my visa set to stun. Now we're gonna have some fun. I got my people up inside. Baby, wanna ride. Party's barely jumping, but we're gonna have to slide. I need a miracle. Turn it up a little high. The roof is on fire. We are we know how to rock your party. Body to Body makes number two in Ireland, so we already have a number one single. This is number two.
Again, 1, 2.
Number 5 in UK.
I'll take that.
Number 14 in Australia, and number 30 on the US dance chart. So maybe the Tool Pool remix was heating up over there.
The single wasn't actually released in the US, so for it to get on the Hot Dance Songs, number 30, I will happily take that.
Yeah, I mean, somebody smuggled some vinyls over to the States. Louis Walsh.
Louis Walsh. Get this remix on the Hot Dance Chats.
Following that, we have the release of Samantha Mumba's debut album, very cleverly called Gotta Tell You. It is fantastic. This album would later be re-released, and there's a US edition with different track listing, and then there's a re-release of that one as well with different track listing. Yeah. So they really make this work.
And then there's a UK-Japanese reissue. So we'll just sort of go with the gist.
We'll go with the gist of it.
Now, David, do you know how many singles were from this album?
More than I initially thought.
Six.
Six. I mean, this is her Thriller.
Yeah. Which is why, even if it is one album, that's why it's been such a pop culture talking point and long-lasting relevance. Because there's six singles from one album.
Joel, I mean, this is a fantastic Swedish pop-produced album.
It is incredible. It's balls-to-the-walls pop.
I love that, balls-to-the-wall. That is a quote that goes up on the fucking tube posters. Bab says, balls-to-the-wall.
That is a saying that other people have. I'm not having an Alexandra Burke elephant in the room moment happen to me. Thank you. I'm aware that is a saying. Now, were there any songs in particularly that stood out to you or that you really enjoyed on this album?
So, not talking about the singles, obviously, because we'll get into that. I really like Feeling Is Right. Oh. It's kind of like a funky, light R&B track that sounds like maybe could have been on Billy Piper's second album. Oh. And I know it's a little bit like cringe, but there's a track on this album called The Boy.
I love this song. It's great. Really? Yeah, it was one of my favourites on the album.
It features Samantha Mumba's brother.
So the Ray J to...
The Ray J to her Brandy.
Yes.
Okay, so the album made number 4 in Ireland, where it sold 500,000 copies. It made number 17 in the UK and then eventually peaking at number 9, selling 1.2 million copies.
Oh my God.
Here. So despite the moderate success of this album, they consider it a moderate success.
We don't consider anything a moderate success on our podcast.
No, but the labels, you know, powers that be back then considered it a moderate success. Despite that, this album ignited interest from the US. Jimmy Iovine, who is, I believe, the head of Interscope at the time, heard the album, very impressed, flew out to Dublin.
Probably was like, There's some bops on this album. It must be a flight to Dublin.
So he flew out to Dublin to meet Sam and Louis Walsh and pretty much signed her immediately to Interscope. That was when he commissioned the Teddy Riley remix of Gotta Tell You. And then, you know, they really started pushing the single on radios over there. I thought maybe once she signed her American deal with Interscope that maybe they would have gotten new sessions in and kind of mixed the old blood with the new blood and given us a stronger, more R&B repackaged album. Because if you think about this time, you know, Pink's debut album came out the same year. And that was a really good R&B-leaning pop.
Yeah, I guess if they've already got a body of work, they've already done some remixes for singles that get it out there, like Strike While the Iron's Hot, which they did do.
Yeah, they really milked this album. But I think towards single number four, it was kind of like, okay, we love it, but, you know, how does this feel now? Like, you know, we've been working this record for about 9 months. Like, it felt like it needed something new.
Hang on a minute. On the US reissue, The Boy had a remix featuring will.i.am and the Black Eyed Peas.
Wild, isn't it? That's not on our Spotify, sadly.
No, I was going to say, have I listened to that and not realised, but...
No, that's on the US version. It's better for me one day. You wanna be my chick? Well, you could be my chick. I'll break you off with some love that you just cannot predict. And girl, you won't forget the top I'll never bring. You'll be your addict, cause the way the Willie make it scream, the way the Willie make it cream, I really make it seem like you were heaven, but this time it wasn't in your dream. It's actuality and my formality. It's the correction mentality and sexuality. So, you want me, boo? I want you too. Yeah, that's correct. Wanna connect with you and neck with you. It'll be natural, so natural. Before we get to the end of 2000, let's just note that she won Best New Female at the 2000 Smash Hits Poll Winners Party.
The prestigious Smash Hits Poll Winners Party. In the top five, because they'd do it as a countdown, and then the winner would be number one. So who was it, these five women? Anastasia at number five, Jessica Ann Simpson at number four. Number three was Sonique, I want to say. She was number three or two.
Three, yeah.
And then number Pink. Two was... Lovely little Pink. And then there we go.
And also before we round out the year 2000, she was nominated for Record of the Year. Gotta tell you. So next comes the amazing third single from Samantha Mumba's debut album. And we have Always Come Back to Your Love.
Now, I think this is my favourite out of all the singles.
I love this so, so much. I mean, Joel, considering the fact that I only discovered it last year...
David, this single, which I know you'll already know this, but was produced by our favourites, Stargate.
Stargate was on fire in this period. I mean, we talked about this in our Billy episode, how he absolutely shook the table with Day and Night when he did that. But also he's worked with Atomic Kitten in the subsequent years. And then, I mean, Mystique.
Maybe that was after this, actually.
Oh, Mystique would have been. I mean, everything came after Billy, because Billy kind of opened the door for them.
That song keeps popping up on Twitter.
Day and
Every
Night.
Every now and then people are just like...
Just throw it in there. Just to remind the kids.
Just a reminder, this is the greatest song of all time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, someone did tweeted. Sorry, I can't remember who it was, but it was excellent. Billy walked so the next set of pop girls could run. And they played the Day and Night video because it's her walking in at the beginning.
So Always Come Back to Your Love is such a major bop. It feels like a very natural sequel to Gotta Tell You. The single hit number one in Ireland, her second number one single there.
Number three in the UK and Scotland. Sometimes Scotland have their own charts. Love it.
It turned out to be one of the top 40 best-selling singles of 2001 here in the UK. Yeah, so get 39. It, Sam.
And 21 in Ireland, like the end of year.
End of year charts. I don't have any recollection of this coming out in Australia. Unsurprisingly, it did number 63 there. But
bloody hell. Maybe that was even on imports alone or something.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't formally released in Australia. I don't know. But I don't remember ever seeing the music video or anything like that. But just watching it recently, I was just like, very Girl Next Door vibes from Sam.
It's just typical of that era, what we love. Friends hanging out in a fabulous sort of looking
apartment.
Apartment that would only be in a music video. Like, it's adjacent to those, like, when they're dancing in a box thing. If there was the apartment living in version of that, this would be it. And, oh yeah, let's do the dance routine. Maybe sit in a car for a bit. All this fabulous stuff.
Round about this time is when Samantha Mumba starts her US assault. She's going in stateside. She filmed her Disney Channel TV special.
Oh, now, I would love to see this in full, if anyone's got it. So it was Aaron Carter and Samantha Mumba live in concert.
What a billing.
What a billing. Random pairing, you might ask? No. Iconic pairing, you might ask. And I would love to see Aaron and Samantha maybe reunite and do a world tour.
Do a club tour over here, both of them.
Yeah, both of them together. I would love that. So Aaron Carter is a real, and I don't use the word guilty pleasure for anyone in pop, but Aaron Carter is a real guilty pleasure of mine. I absolutely, I don't stan him, but I am a avid
observer.
And
that's like me and Katy Perry.
Oof, yeah. Aaron's party, come and get it. Fabulous. So everyone did a Disney special in the day. Oh. Britney did one. Jessica did one. The vocals and the performance of Jessica one's really good. Like, it would be like a first album of a new big star thing to do. I think NSYNC would have definitely done one.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a big deal to have your Disney Channel concert.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Aaron and Samantha did one together. I haven't had a chance to see it in full. I don't quite... There's promos online and stuff.
Mm. That's like these like really cheesy straight-to-camera interviews where they're in a studio.
Oh, my God.
I don't think they're in the same studio.
Aaron Carter cites Nirvana as one of his inspirations.
One-on-one with Aaron Carter and Samantha Mumba.
I'm 13 years old.
I've just gone 18.
And I'm from Tampa, Florida. And still live in Dublin.
Who do I look up to as a vocalist?
Michael Jackson.
Steve Perry.
Aretha Franklin.
Nirvana.
I love Lil' Kim's new album.
In Concert with Aaron Carter and Samantha Mumba. Brought to you in 4D. Friday, March 30th at 6, 5 Central. Only on Disney Channel.
Round about this time, while she's over there working the States, putting everything in, she releases her second US single, which is Baby Come On Over, in brackets, This Is Our Night. This is great. This is really great. Again, why am I only discovering this, like, in the last year or two?
It's so for the American market. I think it popped up in some films. Like, do you not think the sound of it is very, we're going to hit the American market?
It is, but I also thought that of a lot of songs on this album, like, Always Come Back to Your Love. They've gone with a remixed version of Baby Come On Over for the US market. This new version has these bloody samba brass instrumentation, very J-Lo-esque. But it does actually add a great deal of atmosphere to the track. And all of a sudden, I think now this new version has a key change.
Oh, best thing in music is a key change.
Oh, if you're not doing a key change in a pop song, what are you doing?
I would do a pop song, second line would be a key change. 5 key changes in one song.
Yeah, and then by the time you get to the end, it's like a whole different octave, different range.
Never sung live, obviously. Never recorded by me.
So this was serviced to US radios in April 2001. It actually wouldn't be released anywhere else, including the UK, until about 6 months later.
Awful loss. Now, do you think this was the inspiration to Atomic Kitten's cover of Ladies' Night with Call 'Em the Gang? Do you think someone paid attention there and thought, could be a big hit its own?
Maybe Jenny Frost was taking notes.
Yeah.
Jenny, the diligent one.
Oh,
in the group.
We
love
Jenny.
Love Jenny.
Ashanti supporting Jen.
If you don't know what we're talking about, go on our Twitter. There's a picture of Jenny Frost at an Ashanti album launch party, I want to say.
Now, the Baby Come On Over, This Is Our Night music video, which was just released internationally as Baby Come On Over, is directed by Joseph Kahn, who we've spoken about in this podcast before. Wow. Now, he is a pop music legend.
Wow.
A lot of Taylor Swift, notably the Britney Spears Toxic music video. I've spoken about how I really like him as a film director as well. But Sammy Girl, get it. Directed by Joseph Kahn. Wow.
And this is the quintessential futuristic noughties pop star video, isn't it?
Oh, it's a big deal.
I mean, there's, you know, all the coloured backdrops that you would imagine in these videos. Long hair extensions, choreography in like these big open spaces, and also like CGI of like metallic buildings.
This is what you would do as when you want to do your throwback pop music video of this, you know, how everyone's doing now, thankfully. We need more of it. You would just use this as your mood board. Just recreate this shot for shot.
She performed at the 2001 MOBO Awards when she came back side eventually.
What a performance that is.
She looked amazing. These caramel blonde brown hair extensions, like very Naomi Campbell vibes.
Long,
she emerged gorgeous, from like a blue diamond. There's pyro going on. I mean, the label splashed a lot of money on this.
And I think you could even say her concept as a pop star is Janet Jackson meets Naomi Campbell. And gives you a gorgeous, stunning, incredible pop star.
It's such a vision. Shall we talk a little bit about her live performances and how she alternates and gives us variety?
Mm. No shocker, our pop stars, especially this time, they serve choreography.
Mm-hmm.
So they are lip syncing, you know, it's the show, it's the theatricality. So sometimes she serves us that and she gives us these big spectacles. Although actually she still did us that at the MOBO's performance, and that is a live vocal.
Yeah, and she still gave lots of choreography. Yeah.
But that, you know, that was a big show. You do that. There'd been a lot of rehearsal for that. But then sometimes, you know, she'll strip it back a bit and serve us a live vocal and do more minimal moves while her great backing dancers are around her.
Yeah. And it's not like it's, you know, a particular song that Sam would do that. She would do it for all her songs. You know, we've seen, if you look on YouTube, there are performances of Gotta Tell You where it's less movement, more live vocals. And other times it's like, bang, I'm just going to give you all the moves.
Yeah, bump the track.
Baby Come On Over made number 2 in Ireland, number 5 in the UK, number 35 in Australia, number 49 on the Billboard Hot 100. That's amazing. And number 16 on the pop song charts in America.
And I would say this is one of the main ones you think of when you think of Samantha.
Really?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know why I'm having this conversation with you. You discovered it last.
I know, everything is new to me other than Body to Body and Gotta Tell You and I'm Right Here. Everything else is new to me. Around this time, she also re-released her album. It's got a new cover art now. It's that orangey-yellow one.
Yeah, where I prefer the re-release cover.
Do you? Mm. I like the original.
Do you?
The original is the sepia-toned portrait. Yeah, agree. A little bit more classier.
Oh! Agree to disagree, I guess.
Yeah. And Joel, after that, she releases her third US single. I'm not a fan of this one, I have to say. Don't Need You to Tell Me I'm Pretty.
Yeah, so I didn't realise that this was a single. So it was released exclusively in the United States of America.
It was actually the second single released from the Legally Blonde soundtrack.
I mean, what a time.
Like, Sam is on the Legally Blonde soundtrack. Don't Need You to Tell Me I'm Pretty, very soft kind of guitar pop ballad.
Written by Diane Warren.
Oh, shit. Okay. That made number 40 on the US Billboard Hot 100. I mean, she is
big deal.
She is getting a lot of these Hot 100 entries, I have to say. Now we're coming to the second half of 2001. You know, Samantha Mumba has been on the scene for over a year now. She's had great success with her singles. Her album is reissued in the UK in September. Now, this is the version that you get on Spotify at the moment, that final re-released version for the UK market. 15 tracks, And we have a cover of Signed, Sealed, Delivered on here, which she performed on some Motown TV special.
Well, we're guessing.
Well, there is actually a footage of that on
YouTube. Oh, okay, we're not guessing.
We're not guessing. Well, at least I don't think we're guessing. There's a new track on there called Stand By Your Side, which again is steering her more towards a pop ballady direction, rather than the kind of Americanized R&B, which Louis I was Walsh hoping. Impact.
I mean, maybe they're just earlier tracks that they're just putting on there.
And they're just like, you know what?
Two young gay men are going to talk about it 20 years
And then following that, we have the final single from the album, Joel, Lately.
It's not my favourite single, if I'm completely honest. And the music video is not my favourite music video.
I'm so sorry, Sam, but this is awful.
Budget. And it's not how she's giving it. She's giving it. But it freaks me out sometimes to watch stuff like this, because as a creative, I watched it and I'm like, I don't know what I would do better. Like, I'd scrap the whole concept. But it's when you watch stuff that isn't good, it reminds you how hard it is to make things look good. The easy stuff that looks easily made, well done, that can be really hard.
So basically, she is pictured in a very brightly coloured house. This is a very noughties thing, obviously.
It's all purple. Everything's purple.
It's very garish. Everything's purple, reds, pinks, and just bright colours. It's all very extra. So it zooms in on that single tear, that CGI teardrop. The CGI teardrop that fell from her eyes onto her boots. I mean, no.
And she keeps just looking at the photo, and then the photo changes of the guy at one point.
Freaky.
It's like, I'm not sure. The guy's gorgeous. Let's get him in the video. Let's have a flashback. Or if it's cheesy, let's make it cheesier.
But do you know what else as well? On the recording, you hear this beautiful gospel choir singing with Sam. And what do they have in a video? Female dancers in black leather skirts doing like sexy hip thrusts.
To a ballad. And then, because it was sort of released around Christmas time, there's the shots of her in the Christmas bauble. Not to focus on the negatives, she obviously looks great. She's Samantha Mumba. And her vocal is great. And she is giving good. She's doing her best what she got. It's just a bad music video.
I mean, the scenes where she's walking towards the camera, you know, very graceful. She looks very elegant. Like, I don't think we've seen her in a video look this poised and this elegant. So this single is actually a cover of a US number one hit by an American R&B girl group called Divine.
Divine.
So that was a number one hit 3 years before Sam released her version.
A number one
hit. Number one in the US. Yeah, number one. This girl group has three R&B vocalists, and with Sam doing her solo version, she has a choir with her, you know, which kind of makes it sound a little bit like an X Factor winner's single. Like, you almost expect the pyro to come down in the final chorus. Do you know what I mean?
Let's not be negative. Credit where it's due. Number three in Ireland, six in Scotland, six in the UK, two on the UK R&B chart. So
people
even
must
if we
love,
didn't
it.
Love it.
Yeah. And there will probably be people out there that remember her for this song as well.
Lay, I've been watching you.
Been thinking about you, babe.
And everything you do.
Just sitting away, watching the days go by.
Before we leave 2001 for Sam, let's just mention, she got a Grammy nomination.
A Grammy nomination. There's so much success and achievements in this one album.
Yeah. You look at her Twitter bio and she does reference that she's a Grammy nominee.
Oh, yeah. Hi, I'm Joel, Grammy nominee.
Yeah, Babs.
Yeah.
Grammy nomination for Best Remixed Recording for Baby Come Over. I mean,
so would the Grammy have gone to her, or would it have gone to who done the remix?
Probably whoever did the remix, but still, it's her song.
Yeah, like Hilary Duff's a Grammy nominee for audiobook.
Shit.
Yeah, she's still Grammy nominee, Hilary Duff.
Oh, hell yeah, claim that. Joel, next comes her foray into acting.
Film.
Film. She's a film star.
She's a film actress.
Bear in mind, the Time Machine was a very, very big deal. Like, the promo for that was exhaustive. I remember being in Australia, seeing this poster everywhere, bus stops, you know, fucking movie theatres. Like, it was a big deal. You know, Smash Hits magazine went nuts. You know, Samantha Mumba's now a film star.
And we just watched the trailer for it, and it was very, like, clearly the inspiration for Avatar, starring heartthrob Guy Pearce.
Neighbours heartthrob
Neighbours, Guy Pearce. Priscilla, all of the above. From the small bits of Samantha in the trailer, she looked fantastic. She did look like a film actress.
Mm, like a young Tandy Newton. The Time Machine was originally meant to come out in December 2001, I read, but due to September 11 happening, they had to go back to the editing suite and cut out a couple of scenes where bits of the moon was falling on New York City.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so good call putting that back and getting that edited out.
Yeah.
And then comes her new single. This is a new era for Samantha Mumba. We have I'm Right Here.
Now I know what I need, so I shall just speak my dream guy into real life with me.
Absolute bop. It's serving a bit more R&B flavour to it, a little more hint towards that. And so it was produced by Bloodshy Navaan.
They obviously did Christina Milian's AM to PM.
Toxic by Brittany.
This is by no means Interscope is taking small steps with this. They're, you know, putting a lot of money behind this video, this track, and it was a very impressive video.
Yeah, do you not think this is sort of the more grown-up sister to Gotta Tell Ya, the music video? She's a bit sexier now.
Mm.
It's sort of like the mature part two to that. She's not just jumping around in it. She's now driving it.
Yeah, she's taking control.
Taking the hose. This is the one where she's like knocking people out of the hose.
Yeah. So she's running around in a fire truck, hosing down
men. I love the outfit with the little cuts on the sides.
Yeah, you can only do that when you haven't got love handles, you know.
So, not me.
And she's only 19 at this stage.
She's someone that I think will always look... She looked very mature at 19. Mm. She was very sexy.
Even if you look at her now, even if you look like, at she's her now, ageless. She's
ageless. Like, she'll be 60, 70, and she'll pull off this sexy side-cutting outfit, doing the gay clubs at 70.
Yeah, man.
The 70th anniversary of the Gotta Tell You album. So, this was a great single. Absolute great success. But what happened after this? So, we're in 2002. She's ending it strong. Then where was our album, Woman?
Where was
it? The second follow-up album.
So, apparently, you know, there was a lot of talk at the time that I'm Right Here flopped, and that's why the album was cancelled. I'm sorry.
Number three is not a flop.
I'm sorry, that is not a flop. She worked with some really great people on this project, like you said, Bloodshy Navaan. Who knows what other material there could have been out of there. If you actually look on YouTube, I mean, I think there's somebody's uploaded a couple of these tracks from what would have been the Woman album.
Yeah, although Samantha herself has said there isn't a second album.
I was reading an interview not too long ago by Sam, and she said the reality was it wasn't that she was like so-called dropped, but it was that she got stuck in her record deal with Polydor where they were restructuring. And we've heard how things can work out for artists like that. You know, it's happened to so many of our faves.
Let's not forget, well, we didn't unfortunately get a second album. We did get the collection, kind of a greatest hits.
In 2006. Just quickly before we get to the end of that decade, in 2007, Sam did a Channel 4 program.
Yes.
Get Your Act Together with Harvey Goldsmith. So basically the concept of this series is that he works with lots of different acts that have maybe fallen to the wayside and, you know, has 6 months to stage a comeback for them. And Samantha Mumba was one of the acts in this series.
I remember this special.
I can't find anything online. I watched it
when it was on. They didn't give Samantha the greatest edit. From my recollection, this is a TV show 10 years ago. I would have been 17.
Yeah. But she didn't come across too favourably.
Maybe not if you weren't a pop-loving fan.
Yeah, which is a shame, really, because that could have been a really great vehicle for her to come back, because there were apparently a couple of unreleased tracks that were featured in this series, a song called Personalities, which has a kind of Danger, Timbaland-ish kind of vibe. And then there's another track called Rear View, which, you know, the fans on that Pop Justice forums would tell you about.
What I love, we're now living in a time where Samantha's starting doing live gigs and stuff. Yes. So she's doing regional pride.
She did Manchester Pride. Wow, she looked amazing. There's some clips online of her performing, you know, all the big bops from that first album. And her energy was incredible. You know, she was interacting with the crowd. She was just, like, living for it.
Mighty Hoopla need to book her.
Mighty Hoopla definitely need to book her.
I think we should maybe make that a New Year's resolution, or, like, aim for 2019, that we need to go and see Samantha Mumba live.
Also, a couple of tweets this year, back and forth, her and Emenike.
We love Emenike.
One of the best albums of the year.
Oh my God, yeah. One of the only albums from this year I've listened to, and a lot.
It's incredible. And apparently they've been in the studio together. Oh. Come on, Emenike. If there's anyone that can bring Samantha Mumba back with a banger,
yeah,
we trust
gold.
Him.
Yeah.
We trust him.
Okay, well, thank you so much, everyone, for listening to this episode. Don't forget to follow us on all socials. We're at Right Back Pod. Subscribe, listen, please tell all your friends about us. If you liked it enough, give us a 5-star review.
And also, bonus points for anyone who gives us 5 stars on iTunes and says, balls to the wall.
Yes!
Hits only, balls to the wall podcast.
Yeah. If you put that on our comments, David will send you a nude. And I'm at Dr_Joel B on all socials, and you can follow this one at @LoveLimmy or at @FeedLimmy, depending on the platform.
Thanks, guys. We can't wait to roll out more episodes for you this season. There's going to be so many icons.
Oh, and I've been pitching some other stuff to David this morning, so watch this space.
I know,
this
list is ever-changing, and we can't wait to share it with you.
And if this is coming out early in 2019, then let's all have a great 2019.
Fantastic. See you guys soon.
Bye.